Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, this is Devon Dudley, one half of the greatest tag team in the history of this business. And you are in the room with my man, Derek and Brady Hicks. Oh, my brother, testify.
Everybody, welcome to the room. We're in the room, and it's raining like a motherfucker here in my house. Holy shit, it came out of nowhere, and I think Ray's with us too. Kathy, Fitz, and Ray. Ray, you're here, right?
Hey. Yep.
Yes, I'm here.
You scared the hell out of me, man.
What do you mean I scared the hell out of you?
Because you showed up while the theme music was playing. I thought we were going to get the Bobby Heenan show again out of us, out of Kathy and I.
Well, who knows? I mean, you might yet.
No.
Never underestimate my ability to just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm done. I don't want to do this show anymore for the night.
Wait.
Never underestimate my ability to do that.
Yeah, then you'd be Brady Hicks if you did that. As I noticed, Devon's open there, introduced both Derek and Brady, and neither one of those fucking guys are here, because I don't know where Derek is. He worked like 70 hours today. And Brady had his 30th fantasy football draft today. You know, he couldn't miss a show because he had to have 30 fantasy football drafts. Every day he posts a new draft. Hey, what do you think of my draft? Like, well, I can't keep track anymore. Wait, hang on.
Can this song just play in the background during the whole show?
It will, and I'll just bump it up a little bit when we start to feel a little sad. So Brady's got
That sounds fine.
His 70th draft tonight, and he asked, what does everybody think of my draft? And I said, look, I'll be able to tell you what I think of all of your drafts, all 70 of them, tomorrow night on this very network, VOC Nation, VOC Radio, all that good stuff, at 9:30 Eastern. Tomorrow night is the worldwide premiere of your ultimate fantasy with DJ and Derek. So I like to call it your ultimate fantasy. Go ahead.
That sounds so much better.
Yeah.
Than anything we're going to talk about on this show tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured it sounds like, you remember, like, the old school, USA Network days, like, after wrestling or whatever, there'd be those ads for the phone numbers and all that stuff that came on afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that title, that show, sounded a lot like one of those that you would see on there. So this is your ultimate fantasy with DJ and Derek, by the way. So he's also going to be there. So it sounded like one of those deals. But, you know, we have a few things to talk about tonight. I mean, I think I may get struck by lightning in my house. Holy shit, where did this come from? You might be able to hear it in the background. That's not my stomach from some bad meatballs I had tonight. That's actually thunder. Wow.
Yeah,
so,
that's just my house about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, but you know what, Ray? I know you guys have that dry heat out there, but about 100...
No such thing.
Yeah, well, it's heat.
No
it's
such thing.
Today, so I come out today, and it's like 140% humidity, and I'm going to steal a line from Lewis Black, the comedian. You know it's humid out when you walk outside, and 3 seconds later, you go, you know, I should have put deodorant on my balls. That's what I should have done. Holy shit, was it humid? My God.
You know, I mean, look, it's... I understand that humidity. I've been in it before. If you go to the Southwest and you step outside, imagine Okay, you've made something in the oven before, right?
What's that?
You've made something in an oven at some point in your life, right?
Yeah, once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
I've thrown something in the oven to cook, yeah.
Imagine if you set that oven to about 180 billion degrees.
Put it on, like, the clean setting. Put it on clean, yeah.
Yes. And then what you did was you said, you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to walk outside in this.
I'm going to walk into this.
Right. I want to watch the food
is.
Cook. I want to watch the food in there. I'm going to go in and watch it.
I mean, geez, I'm not kidding you. A friend of mine and I went to Burger King the other day after work, and we probably could have just taken the raw patties outside and cooked them.
Probably.
It was horrible. It was almost as horrible as raw last night. Yeah, I don't want to talk about raw last night. Because,
you seem like you're all twittered out.
You know how, like, victims of a crime
Yeah.
don't like to talk about how they were victims of the crime?
Yeah, they don't want to relive it, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, on a positive note, maybe we can start off with this. I have it on right now. It's muted because, you know, I'm a professional, so I have to keep things in the background quiet while I do the show. But a great, great week of programming on WWE Network this week, right? If this week of programming isn't worth your $9.99 alone, I don't know what is. And I'm being 100% serious when I say that. It's Attitude Week on the WWE Network. Or as Triple H would say, the WWWWE Network, or whatever the fuck he said in the beginning of the promo in the beginning of the show last night. But right now, it's the latest edition of Monday Night War, which has been a tremendous show thus far. They've got 4 episodes up, and I've been loving it. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet or not, but I think it's tremendous. And right now they're doing the one on D-Generation X, and Sean's just out of his mind, hopped up on stuff, just doing crazy shit in a ring. But this show is tremendous. You know, we've been waiting for it since the network came out, and it's been awesome.
Well, that's great. That's great. Here's the thing. I'm so uninterested.
Wow.
In talking about anything wrestling related tonight, it's almost unheard of. How low my interest level in wrestling is after last night. Last night's it, man.
Have you watched any of this the shows I'm talking about on the network?
I have. I have seen parts of the Attitude Era shows. They're fine. I personally love the belief that so much stuff has been released on the Attitude Era that kind of the market for it is watered down. So whatever.
How about Monday Night War? Have you watched those yet?
No, I haven't. Are they worth it? I mean, are they really worth it? How much new stuff? What new stuff do I learn?
I don't know if it's a lot of new stuff, but it's just, you know, the way it's presented.
Okay,
there's new interviews.
So
new interviews with people.
So it's stuff I already know, but presented differently? No, no thanks. I already pissed away 3 hours of my week watching Raw last night. I don't have time for the rest of this.
Kathy, have you watched any of
them? I've seen them. I enjoyed watching them years ago when it was on. Why?
No, but I mean, the shows are different. You know, they're different in a way that it kind of takes you through the thought process of the two companies and what was happening while certain things were happening on the other side. I think that's interesting. And I think that, you know, you're getting to hear from the people that were actually making the decisions. And, like, you know, a lot of people were against Vince when he pulled the Attitude thing. They didn't want to do it. And he finally just said, you know, we're doing it. And I don't care if you come with me or not. I don't know. I think it's been good. And obviously, if we could tell Ray that, you know, if, you know, there could be the greatest match in the history of wrestling happening. Hogan Andre could be happening tonight for the first time ever, and Ray wouldn't be into it right now. I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wouldn't be. No, I wouldn't. You know why? Because, I mean, seriously, did either of you guys watch Raw last night?
Yes. I fell asleep 3-4 times during it and then woke up and then fell asleep again. I was most intrigued by the fact that I had to rewind to the beginning of the show to find out that I really just find out that they changed John Cena out of the main event after saying he was in the main event. I was really confused why all these guys were talking about being considered for the title shot when they had already announced the title match 2 weeks ago. So I was really kind of confused. That was the start.
Okay,
here's
what I say. Like for me, last night is the if you're living on the if you're living somewhere out on the prairie, and your town is dying. Last night is the moment where you say, you know what, guys, screw it, pack it in. It's been a nice run. We had some good memories, but time to move on.
So I know you're loving the Bella stuff. I know you're into that.
Based on your tweets.
Speaking of Twitter, make sure everyone out there, more than six people now would be nice, follow ITR_original because I'm up to six followers, and that's pathetic. If I don't get more than 10 followers by the end of next week, I'm just speaking of shutting it down, I'm shutting it down completely. Anyway, so speak on the Bellas. I know you're big into the growing up Bella.
If you're writing a special victims unit episode. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Put our music on. If you're writing an episode of Special Victims Unit, what you've just done, DJ, is you've taken yourself, one of the officers, probably one who sucks, like Olivia Benson. She's terrible. By the way, if you like her as a character, call into the show so I can tell you what a dumb fuck you are.
Hold on, I gotta go screen calls.
What you did, DJ, what you did just there by saying, hey, talk about the Bellas. Like if you're writing an SVU episode, you've just taken one of the cops who sucks, probably like Benson, and you said, here, tell the victim who doesn't want to talk about what her traumatic experience was, sit her down and force her to.
I didn't say talk about them. I said, I know you're big into growing up Bella. You seem to be a big fan
no,
of that.
No, I'm not. I'm not big in... Stop it. Don't lie to the people. Don't lie to them.
Sorry, Sarge. We'll start showing you some respect. Suck it. I love it. Well, I think we have a caller. I'm going to guess.
Oh, good.
You're ripe and ready to go, right? Right?
I'm going to go
right live to this. Jersey. That's my Springsteen. Call from Jersey. Who's this? Is this the rat?
You got it, and I tell you what. I think Roland needs a chainsaw or something like that because it was lousy last night.
Look, you finally agree on something, you two. Look at this. It's like a...
You know what, DJ? Let's not go jerking each other up quite yet.
All right.
Yeah,
There's nothing happening there.
Shut up, Rapley. Rapley, I agree with you. I just don't want to turn this show into like the giant dick sucking festival quite yet. Maybe we can do that later. But yeah, for right now, Rapley, how unwatchable was that? Was it as unwatchable as one of your calls is unlistenable?
Put it this way, I won't put my $9.99 into it to watch that piece of shit.
Wow.
Like that.
You know, for $9.99, really, I don't know why I didn't do this. Like, I could have flipped over to Nitro on the network.
Yeah. You know what? That's an interesting topic. I want to talk about that a little bit later on. But, Rapboy, what else you got besides Raw was shit? Do you have anything else?
It was too lousy. First, they picked the Bella twin skit, and you know it wasn't working.
So I'm just surprised, and you know the people I was watching with were convinced that it was going to be a tag match, that there was going to be like, you know, like AJ and Bree against Nikki and Paige.
That's what they're working on. But they've done it the lousy way.
I guess they didn't want to blow their load last night, so to speak, huh?
Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
It was real bad.
Yeah. They spent a lot of time on that shit, too. I don't understand it.
I didn't
a lot
understand
of time.
It one bit last night. What? I understand it last night. I couldn't even understand it, what was going on there.
Nikki is just so good on the mic, though. I don't know what took them so long to get her out there. I just don't get it.
You know what I especially loved about her promo ability, DJ? Is
that
she actually, well, she remembered a very rarely used device sometimes in literature, but also in public speaking.
Repetition?
Where she tells someone to do something and then immediately makes fun of them for doing it.
Go ahead and quit. Quitter. Leave, you quitter.
I want you to quit. Go ahead, leave.
And there's
quit,
another thing
that
I noticed last night. There's another thing. All right? It was that bunny. The bunny really got into it this week. I think that was the best part of Raw right there.
The bunny?
You know what the best part of Raw was, Rapley? The best part of Raw was when Brady texted me. It was when Brady texted me with about a half hour left in the show and said, "Hey, guys, we're not going to do Rub Raw tonight." And I sent him back a rather angry text message, and then I flipped the Pawn Stars. That was the best part of Raw.
There was nothing to talk about. There was nothing to talk about except for the bunny man. The bunny really got his cheap shots in.
I'm tired.
All right, so that's it, Rapoli.
And I think next week you're going to see, you know, Adam Rose and the bunny against that redheaded guy and that chocolate flavor guy. I don't know their names.
I don't know, Rap. All right, Rapoli, that's all you got?
That's all I got. Now I can go on vacation.
All right, well, listen to the your Ultimate Fantasy tomorrow night at 9:30, all right?
I will.
All right, man. Call in. See ya.
Call a fantasy question.
Yeah.
Hey, how about we give people a sneak peek at the kind of wisdom that they'll see on your Ultimate Fantasy? We could go over my fantasy football roster as I defend my title.
Defend your title. Yeah, well...
As I defend the title.
There's a league I'm involved in that I'm only doing, partially doing one this year because I'm concentrating on, you know, my professional commitments here. but in this draft, managed to get both Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green on the same team.
Ooh, very nice.
And there's 14 teams in this league. It's not like it's an 18 league. It's 14 teams. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Andrew Luck as well. I said, man, oh, man, I am not messing around. But anyway, so let's get a sneak peek. Ray, what do you have
to defend your title? I'm just about to pick someone up off waivers.
No, the season hasn't started yet. How are you picking up anybody?
Well, because I'm not happy with my backup tight end. So
okay.
I'm going to go ahead.
But you're not going to need him for probably 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have Jason Witten, but I'm not so sure.
Tony Romo's back.
Draft,
right? Yeah.
I just draft Kobe Fleener, and I'm going to add Tim, because I can add Tim Wright, the backup tight end from New England. Basically, what I am doing. Is betting on Gronk not staying healthy for longer than a week or two.
Yeah, but Kobe Fleener's their number one option at tight end. Why would you get rid of him?
Because he drops the ball a lot. His targets dropped as the season went on last year.
He's going to get a lot of targets though with those three receivers.
I have Reggie Wayne, so it's not like I don't have their number one target.
He's not their number one target.
Okay, so here we go.
T.Y. Hilton.
Quarterbacks. Now remember, I picked 10th in this league, and it's a quarterback friendly league.
10th out of how many?
This isn't 10th out of 12.
Yeah, we were 9 out of 14. That was dog shit.
Yeah, I was 10th out of 12, and it's a quarterback friendly league.
Okay.
But I managed to snag Matthew Stafford and Alex Smith.
I'll tell you, Matthew Stafford is a fantasy beast, but he sucks. Like, if he was my actual quarterback in real football, I'd lose my shit. But he's a fancy nut. He throws for so many yards and a lot of touchdowns. But luckily, interceptions
know,
are
actually,
only minus one and not like minus four. You'd be screwed.
Yeah, they're like minus three or something like that. But, like, I think his interceptions are going to go down and his other numbers are going to stay up because they're basically going to be running the old system out of Indianapolis.
He still throws a lot of stupid balls. A lot. He thinks he can put it in anywhere.
Well,
and he really can't,
I'm reasonably happy because he was actually my second-round pick.
Who'd you get in the first round?
I took A.J. Green because receivers were starting to come off the board.
So he was probably like the second or third receiver taken, right?
Third.
Calvin Johnson and then like Julio Jones or...
I don't remember who was... Thomas
from Denver.
All right, now here are my running backs.
By the way, breaking news. I don't know if you heard this.
Yes.
Wes Welker is going to be suspended for 4 weeks when he finally
does. Yes, I saw that. I saw it. I think that's good because he should retire anyway because his brain is oatmeal.
Maybe he was doing so well because he was on amphetamines. I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines. All right, we got two more minutes on football. Then we got to go back to wrestling because the football show is really tomorrow night. No, I have a topic that we can probably talk about.
So you have a topic. Okay. All right, running back. Stephen Ridley, Carlos Hyde, Devonta Freeman.
Ridley's your guy. Seems like the other guys are kind of.
Well, I think Hyde and Devonta Freeman are going to end up getting a lot of short yardage stuff.
You got to hope.
It's a touchdown heavy league. All right, receivers. I took a lot of receivers, and basically what I did was I said I'm going to take a couple of guys who I know will produce, and then maybe if a couple of these other guys work out, I'll be okay. A.J. Green, Larry Fitzgerald, Victor Cruz, Reggie Wayne, Doug Baldwin, Kelvin Benjamin, and Andrew
I'd rather have Shelton Benjamin at wideout. Kelvin Benjamin. The other guys, I like your first three. You only start three, right?
Yeah, you have two receivers and then a flex spot.
Yeah, Cruz will probably be in your flex sometimes.
All right. Tight ends, Jason Witten, and then basically I'm banking on Gronk getting hurt.
Again.
Not the worst bet in the world. And then I have the Rams defense and Robbie Gould as my kicker.
I like the Rams defense. I looked at them pretty early. My only concern with them was that they're now that Bradford's hurt and they have like no quarterback, that they were going to be on the field like all the time, and that would hurt some of their numbers based on the fact that they would be down a lot. You know what I mean? And they would
giving up points isn't really what kills you with your defense. It's that you get very little out of your defense unless you're generating. Unless
sack.
You're getting your yardage bonuses, or you're getting sacks, or turnovers.
Yeah, I think that defense is going to get a lot of sacks. I just don't know how long they're going to be able to hold up with being on the field that long during a game, because I've got a feeling that offense is going to be awful now. It worries me a tad, but I like your team. It's always one of those things that. You can look at any team and say it's pretty good. It's a matter of starting to, you know, like name what the other people have. That's when it gets a little tricky. You know what I mean? It's hard to tell until you know what everybody else is dealing with, what everybody else actually has. That's my opinion, at least.
All right, so you shoved me off football, even though that's really what I want to talk about.
Well, you can call in tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's the night to call.
No, I don't want to call in tomorrow night.
Okay.
What's your wrestling topic?
Well, We're up against a break coming up. Do you want to just say screw it and go with the topic, or do you want to take a break?
You know what? Let's take a break and come back.
All right, we can do that. On the other side of the break, the topic will have to do It'll be all like, you know, time based. It'll have something to do. It'll be topical with the WWE Network's thing that they have going on, and the Monday Night War and all that kind of stuff. But so that's the topic that we're going to talk about. I have something to do with that. We'll talk more about it after the break. Don't anybody go anywhere, or as they would say in Back to the Future, don't nobody go nowhere. I think that's what. Anyway, we'll be back.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling the Podcast and the Business Making Towns. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today. And so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Netcarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Netcarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Netcarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed, as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself, and it is not.
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Woo!
We're back!
You are my fire, the one desire.
Brady sounds so energetic at this moment, doesn't he?
He's like,
yeah, so much more, and fuck you guys, I'm not going to show up.
You know, I think it's getting to the point where we need to think about whether or not this should be in the room with DJ and Ray.
I mean, I skipped last week because I said, he texted me and said, are you coming on tonight? And I said, I can honestly use a bye week at this point because I've been going like 2 months straight with like different combinations of people based on availability. And he's been here like 1 week out of the last like month and a half. So I'm like, I'll take a bye. And he's like, well, that's good because I need off night next week because I have a football draft. I'm like, wait a minute, you're at a football draft. What the fuck are you talking about?
You guys would not have wanted me on last week. I just had shoulder surgery.
That's the best time to have to be on. All looped up on Pearl. That's what we wanted.
If you were on painkiller, that's a great time. That's a great time of day for you to be on. Now,
I had a nerve block and the whole left side of my body. There was no feeling.
Nerve blocks are great, man. Those things always blew my mind. How they can just put like a needle, like in a centimeter of like your body, and like know exactly where it's going to numb you, like for a day, for an entire day. That's crazy to me.
Okay, so
speaking of numbing,
are we ready?
Yeah, speaking of numbing people's emotions. So last night on Raw, something else we noticed that during the wonderful Bella Twins. By the way, they got to give somebody new music because you don't know if it's just like the person's supposed to leave the ring, like after the promo, or if the other one's actually coming down to the ring.
I agree. So
they're gonna do something with that. But
here is the official story, because we noticed there was a fan with a sign that said, "I could be at home watching Nitro
for
$9.99.
That's a very important part.
And then suddenly, we saw that there wasn't a fan with a sign that I could be at home watching Nitro for $9.99, which is weird because signs don't usually just disappear. So, this from Wrestling News Source. A WWE fan was threatened with arrest after being ejected from Monday's Raw broadcast over a sign which grabbed the attention of WWE officials when it became a hot topic across social media, in their eyes, for all the wrong reasons. The sign read, "I'd rather be at home watching Nitro for $9.99. The fans submitted the following account of what went down via social media site Reddit. "Tonight in Des Moines, Iowa, I was having fun being a fan of the product and holding it two different signs. One said I'd rather be at home watching Nitro for $9.99. The other said Raw is Rage Life," whatever the hell that means. "Around 9 p.m., a skinny white male with a black polo shirt with the WWE logo asked me for the sign. I asked which one. He took the Raw is Rage Life and left. A few minutes later, he came back and asked for the other sign. Next to him was a huge black man in a suit with a WWE lapel pin. I tossed the sign Reddit wanted me to make, and then was told to leave the arena. I refused and was threatened with arrest. After a few minutes, I went with them to the vending area where five men in suits surrounded me, attempting to tell me that I would be arrested for a sign someone with WWE hadn't liked. I told them it was fine to bring the police so I could be arrested, but they wouldn't bring them. After 5 or 10 minutes, I left of my own will because I was tired of this. Now, here's the best part. Fuck WWE, Vince McMahon, and everyone involved. They also took the sign next to me from a person next to me that said, "Cena, it's time for a heel turn."
Yeah, I don't think that was intentional. That was probably just them grabbing every sign of the area, thinking they weren't sure which one they were getting. Because I don't think that's anything crazy. So, is there going to be more about this week? Are we going to hear more about this? Or is it just like...
I think
somebody...
that's the end of the story. Look, here's the thing. If you're WWE and you want people to watch the network and embrace the network and watch all this goofy 999 crap that you put on, you can't be mad when it shows up on your products.
I totally agree.
You
I think
cannot
it's...
have...
Yeah.
You cannot tell people, watch our network, watch our network, watch our network, and then be mad when people say, wait a second, fellas, wait a second. The stuff on the network is a lot better than what's on TV.
But they're literally saying this week, hey, Nitro's coming on. All the Nitro episodes are going to be on. Go watch them for $9.99. And then there's literally an ad on a sign in the crowd, and they take it away. I mean, that's mega hypocritical, which would be hypocritical, right? So the other thing is, like, Triple H can come out there and say, you know, go back and watch SummerSlam from 2 months ago or last month for $9.99 a month. And then John Cena can say, I went back and watched the WrestleMania from 12 years ago when I beat you. And that's relevant now because I beat you, whatever it was. So I watched that on the network for $9.99. So we can reference to go watch something 12 years old or whatever on the network for $9.99, but a fan can't say, hey, I'd rather watch Nitro. I guess because it's saying – it's like that whole ad thing where you can't say that you're the better than somebody. You can say you're the best. You just can't say you're better than somebody, which if you're the best, you're automatically better than somebody. But I guess it's kind of like saying, hey, you can go watch SummerSlam or you can go watch WrestleMania from 12 years ago, but – not because it's better than this, just because you want to watch it at the time. And I guess that fan was saying that that is better than what this is. Old Nitros are better than current WWE product. I don't know. It's fucking
stupid.
Oh,
and he's right. He's right.
That's irrelevant. The point is it's stupid that it even came up. I don't know.
So... you have a topic for us.
Yeah, segueing from Nitro, actually. You know, and this is something we could talk about. I mean, it doesn't need to be long. We can talk about it for maybe 20 minutes and then get the fuck out of here because I don't have much, really, I want to talk about for 2 hours. The era in which is being talked about now on the network, you know, the mid-90s to early 2000s, you know, the Monday Night Wars and all that. I've heard some people say that the Attitude Era killed wrestling. Like, long-term, because it was so out of control with, like, no limits and just no rules, nothing. It totally desensitized everybody to anything in the future. So it killed wrestling. Have you ever heard anybody say that or feel that way?
I've said that.
Okay, well, then I've heard it from other people. I didn't necessarily hear it from you. I would argue the other point, and this is something that we could talk about, and you can present your views on this. I think that let me start with my I guess punchline or my premise here. The whole point. I think that WCW and Nitro killed wrestling for the future and made it into the situation that it has today, where it's just, you know, has these ups and downs and all over the place and made it so much worse than it used to be. My reason in saying that, and I'll go to my argument now, is that do you remember, like, what Brady and I have talked about in the past and what a lot of wrestling fans that grew up at the same time as I did consider, like, the good old days of wrestling, the glory days of wrestling was, like, when Superstars and Wrestling Challenge was on every Saturday and All-American Wrestling was on Sundays and Primetime Wrestling was on Mondays and Saturday Night's Main Event was on maybe once every couple months. All that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that was like the time when – and you would get like – you would have your superstars, not the show superstars, but like your high main event guys or just your, you know, your name wrestlers would be wrestling guys that were just getting a paycheck or that were like, you know, as The Rock would say, were jabronis or, you know. and just beating them. And they were just squash matches, but it was to see your favorite wrestler wrestle and to let him like work and practice and all that kind of stuff. And that would be the same way on both Saturday shows, and then they would air them again on Monday. And you would maybe get like one feature match a week for each show. And it wouldn't be a huge thing. It would just be like a mid-card match. You know, it just wouldn't be – there wouldn't be a jabroni involved. It would be like, you know, the Rockers against the Rougeau brothers instead of the Rockers against, you know, Iron Mike Sharp and Barry Horowitz. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. No, I mean, so, I understand all this premise. I also think that the early and mid-'80s through the late 80s were that the mid, really the mid through the late 80s. I also think that those were the greatest days in wrestling history.
Okay. Now
you're not trying to sell me on this.
No, no. I'm just laying my argument, you know, kind of putting down, laying the bricks here to why I think Nitro was more detrimental to where we are now and how far away we are from what was great. Like when Nitro started to pick up steam and just went what they considered balls out, you know, like when they started getting the ratings and had like all these WWE guys come in and just kind of take over and use them as either the NWO or whatever it was. They started making every match on Nitro a match that you would not have seen on a Monday night or a match that you should have only seen on a pay-per-view. And it became such that like every week, every match had to be like top the week before. So these matches that would have been saved for one of the big four pay-per-views of the WWE or like Clash of Champions at the time or Starrcade for WCW or even, you know, the Great American Bash, whatever it was, were now happening every Monday. Every Monday. You would have a world championship match on Nitro every Monday, even though it would always end up with nobody winning and being like a double countout or double disqualification or just 20 guys running in the ring or whatever, you can pretty much guarantee that it would be some bullshit ending. But it still was happening. You were getting these two giant stars in the ring together that you should only be paying for. You follow me? So
yes.
I think that became like the norm at that point. And in order for WWE to compete and to stay, even ECW and these other companies that were competing with the what became the number one product at that time, which was WCW, like in order to keep up with that, they had to go and do the same thing. And so in addition to Attitude Era of like, you know, being like crazy with the females and the language and the, you know, the PG-13 and all that kind of stuff, the actual content of the wrestling became such that it was no longer a big deal to see high profile matches. It became a weekly occurrence, if not like several times a week, which totally was against the formula, which we all think was successful. And now it's gotten to the point where, you know, we see the same match on a Raw that we're going to see at the pay-per-view like three or four times. There's no uniqueness or specialness. That's not a word. There's nothing special about it anymore because we've been so desensitized by what Nitro started and continued to do and make like just get out of control with week after week after week over a span of years that the product's so saturated that it was like, hey, what the hell are we going to do on a weekly program anymore? We got to just keep up in the ante. And so I think the Nitro shows and the Nitro peak is what really killed what we remember as good wrestling, not the Attitude Era.
Here's the problem with this. Everything you've said is technically true. But WWE continued to do things with, you know, kind of the super show weekly programs even after Nitro was gone. There was never a fallback.
Yeah, they
and the reason there was never a fall the reason there was never a fallback is because WWE they evolved out of the need to survive. They evolved, and they became essentially a more well-run Nitro. and people don't know how to go back. Now, I'll tell you, there's the death of something else. And this is, something people will praise the Attitude Era for. People praise the Attitude Era because they'll say that everybody had a storyline. You know, you kind of, I think it's Brady who usually comes on here and says that, you know, when you look back at some of that stuff, yeah, it wasn't great, but you had everybody busy.
Yeah.
You had everybody busy. Here's the problem. While there was the arms race during the Monday Night Wars, it killed off the idea of the jobber. You don't have jobbers anymore.
True.
You can't. Well, you almost sort of can't. I mean, yeah, did WCW start all this? Probably. But to say that somehow they are the ones solely responsible and not the Attitude Era as a whole, I think it sort of dismisses what other companies did. You know, they gave storylines to other guys, which is fine. But when they kept doing it and it eventually killed off the concept of the jobber, you don't have much place else to go.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think part of the problem is I don't think WWE would have necessarily ever gone to where it went had WCW not done what they did. That's kind of where my point is. Like, I'm saying the thing directly responsible initially is WCW and what they did. You know what I mean?
No,
and like, people will blame the Attitude Era, but the Attitude Era was a reactionary thing to what was being done. It was the only way they were going to like survive. They had to do something. So they did that to survive, and as a result of that, they ended up doing what they did, which was, you know, like we said, catastrophic for some things as far as the future of the business went. However, they may have never gotten there, most likely never would have gotten there, had they not been pushed there by WCW. And that's where my problem is, that you can't put – the Attitude Era never happens with that kind of shit had WCW not done what they did. And that's kind of where I stand with it. Plus, when they put WCW out of business, an argument for not having to go backward to the jobber or whatever is they had so much extra talent there after, like, kind of, you know, like, absorbing WCW that they could have still had, like, a quality product as far as the wrestling went without putting their main event guys in matches every week, because they had a lot more guys to do things with and to keep busy without having to have their main events happen on their Monday night show.
No, I mean, that's true.
They didn't do that.
I worry that what you're saying sort of comes close to Attitude Era, you know, apologetics. If that makes any sense. Like, I sort of wonder if maybe it comes close to you saying, the Attitude Era was great and I like it, so obviously the era itself didn't have an impact. It did.
No, it did. It absolutely did. But I don't think it would have ever done. I don't think there would not have been that. I'm just saying the initial problem where it started. That's kind of like...
Oh, yeah, no. The initial problem definitely lies...
Cause and effect. You know, there's always a cause and effect. Like, people blame the Attitude Era. Guess what? That was an effect of the cause of Nitro. You know what I mean? And the booking of Nitro and how they went about business.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if that's as far as you're taking it, yes, I agree with you.
What do you think, Kathy?
Well, there's a lot of bad still remaining from Nitro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. What's your opinion, Kathy? Who's to blame for the shitty product, Nitro or the Attitude Era?
Well, I agree with both of you on both things, okay? One, I think there's no more jobbers. I mean, with the NXT, that's basically where the jobbers are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of having an NXT network, whatever, bring some of those guys up to get buried.
They already have a lot of, like, they technically still have some jobbers, but they're guys that are actual, like, names on the show. You know what I mean? There are a lot of guys that could be considered jobbers. They never win. When's the last time Zack Ryder won?
Barrett.
When's the last time Zack Ryder won anything?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, Kofi. You know what I mean? Like, they'll win once in a while a match here and there, but they're basically out there to lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like it was, you know, I mean.
No. It's not a squad.
When I was watching it, okay, I remembered, like, Barry Houston.
Yeah.
Hugh Morris. You know, Joe Gomez.
Oh, I remember them all. You remember Sandy Beach? Mike Sharp and I remember even Buddy Rose had become like a jobber for a while. You know what I mean? Like he would just go out there and get destroyed every week.
Yeah, I mean, and now it's all it is. I see where, you know, what's his name? Damien Sandow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the epitome of a jobber.
Well, do you think, like, they almost made fun of it for a while there, right? You remember, like, the Job Squad and Al Snow and Mick Foley and all that? Like, it almost became a joke. And, like, it was like, okay, we're going to make fun of it now, so it's not even going to really be a thing anymore. There's not even going to be jobbers. I can't hear you, Ray. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I do remember when they did that. I think, so we can kind of start talking about that by talking about this. And that's the big difference between a jobber from kind of the golden era of wrestling versus a jobber in the sense that, you know, you guys said Zack Ryder or Kofi Kingston is a jobber. The difference is that jobber was there just to make the other guys look good, and they were out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You had a big stable of jobbers, and you had a much less big stable of mid-carders and, you know, main eventers. That dynamic has been inversed, where now you have this huge pool of guys you're trying to squeeze into your main event or into your mid card, and so you're just kind of letting them drift, and you have a very small pool at the bottom of guys who would still probably be considered jobbers, and they don't show up very often.
You know, it was great. Do you remember, like, I'd go to house shows, and you remember, like, they'd have, like, you know, the main card would have a lot of, like, those, what you would consider feature matches, you know, like the current, like, storyline feuds that would be, like, they'd be practicing for, like, the pay-per-view or whatever it was. But I remember, like, the first match or whatever, first couple matches were always almost like dark matches where it was like, it was two jobbers wrestling, and, like, one of the jobbers would get to win, Like, I always remember, like, it would be, like, Scott Casey against Mike Sharp. Or, like,
mm-hmm.
Scott Casey against, like, I forget who the other one that he always used to wrestle was. And Scott Casey would win. You're like, Scott Casey never wins. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
like it was crazy. Like, that to me, that was nuts, getting to see, like, these guys that, like, always got obliterated on the show actually, like, evenly match, and either one of them could win. Mike Sharp even won a few times. I remember he'd hit him with the forearm brace and win. And
yeah,
Brooklyn Brawler, before he was the Brooklyn Brawler, when he was just Steve Lombardi.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is that you don't have a pool of guys who are just sort of there to make the other guys look good. You have the big pool of guys who are supposed to look good and a very small pool of guys who are supposed to do it.
Yeah, and a lot of times they don't even choose when they should be doing it correctly. I think that's another problem, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, by and large, and you know, I was talking about this with some people the other day, by and large, your main eventers and your upper mid-carders should either not be wrestling or should be blowing through different jobbers every week. They should never, ever, 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 ever get in the ring with the guy they're supposed to be facing until they go to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think the last time on this show that we really had a chance to talk about it, I want to say 8 months ago, 6 months ago, there was a feud between Biggie Langston and Dolph Ziggler. Do you remember that when they first pushed that feud?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you remember that one of the big things they were pushing was that these two guys have never gotten in the ring with each other before. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, but they ran out of guys for them to face. So, like 3 weeks before they're supposed to face off at the pay-per-view, they face off on Raw.
Brutal.
And if that doesn't say, God, fly is going. If that doesn't say booking is a lost art, I'm not sure what does.
Definitely needs some work, man. Really does. Oh, it's an interesting topic, and I'm glad we talked about it. It was something to actually speak about for a little while and get some interesting opinions out there. I mean, I don't have much more I want to talk about. We're approaching an hour. I think an hour is good for us unless somebody really wants to go any longer. Yeah, I don't know if anybody feels strongly one way or another.
Oh, DJ, I have a thing related to you and I's favorite song.
Our favorite what? Song?
Our favorite song.
Okay.
You know, the one where Cartman sings?
I have it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. My childhood dog died over the weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh. I know, it really did suck, and I was actually fairly unhappy yesterday. But then, I got in my car, to move it up closer to the house because I needed to clean it out. And this song was on the radio. And, like, I started tearing up, and then I got really mad because I said, I don't know if I'm tearing up because I'm sad Dudley's dead or if I'm sad because this song is so shitty and it happens to be on. And I don't know which one it is.
I'm going to go with the fact.
I think it was the dog. I think it was the dog because I changed the radio station fairly quickly.
I'm going to go with a little bit of both. The song is super shitty. That might have something to do with it.
Like, I turned and I said, why? What have I done? Not only did the dog die, but also this is on. What have I done to deserve this?
That reminds me of that Casey Kasem, that long distance dedication thing he used to do. You ever hear his outtakes when he starts freaking out and cursing?
No.
Well, that's your homework this week. That's your homework this week to YouTube Casey Kasem freaks out, or Casey Kasem outtake, or whatever. Remember, he used to do that American Top 40 show, and they would do those long distance dedications. Like somebody would write a letter, you know, and he would read it, and then he'd play a song for whoever the letter was written about. So he's doing this thing. Somebody wrote a letter in about their best friend, their dog that had died, and you know, he's like, his name was Snuggles or whatever, and he's doing the whole thing. He's reading it or whatever, and like he messes up, and he's like, all right, let's take it from the record, and he starts over, and he gets all pissed off because whatever the song they were playing before that was like really fast or upbeat or whatever, and he just loses his mind.
Yes, I've heard this.
Yeah,
never mind.
Yeah, he loses his shit because he's like, he's got to come out of this up-tempo record and talk about somebody's dog dying. So he just loses. He's like, I got to come out of a goddamn death dedication. Somebody's fucking dog dies, and he just loses. It's hysterical. So that made me think that the song came on. You're like, all right, my dog died. I got to listen to this fucking song, this goddamn song. You're doing your Casey Kasem in the car there. This made me think of it. You're like, what have I done to deserve having to listen to this goddamn death?
Well, that was kind of the thought. That was kind of the thought that went through my head. So why? Why is all this stuff being forced to happen to me right now?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I feel bad for you for having to hear the song. I think that was probably put you over the edge.
Yeah, I was on unjoyful. Well, that'll be how I describe it.
Unjoyful.
Very unjoyful.
Man, that's a good way to put it.
Well, DJ, maybe I should give out some thank yous for everyone who joined us on the show tonight. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. First off, I'd like to thank Rat Boy for calling in. And I'd like to thank our other guests, Brady Hicks and Derek McDonald. You guys were great. Make sure you're back at any time on In the Room with DJ Ray and Kathy. Just call on in.
Nobody else to thank?
I think that's it. You know who I don't want to thank is WWE for giving us something so horrible that we couldn't even talk an hour about it. A three-hour show. We got 1 hour out of it.
How come it's Attitude Week on the network and they're showing Nitros? I don't know. I don't get it. If only Lord Alfred Hayes were here to tell us more about it.
I don't know why either. Well, are we getting out of here, DJ?
You bet your balls we are. I've had enough.
All right.
I think it's a perfect week for Brady here because we could tell him to suck it, just like WWE Network could tell him. This is it. Everybody join in tomorrow night, VOC Nation, VOC Nation Radio, or whatever they call it now. Tomorrow night is your ultimate fantasy. Fantasy football talk the day before the season starts. Call in for your lineup questions, your free agent questions, just overall fantasy football goodness tomorrow night on VOC Nation, 9:30 Eastern. We'll be on. Kathy, Ray, it's been a pleasure. Not really. No offense to you guys.
Download the podcast, share with everybody, and call us or go to hell.
All right. See ya.
Later.
Oh.